Many of you know that when I lived in Rome, I used to guide pilgrims through the excavations under the Basilica of St. Peter, where St. Peter's buried. It's called the scavi in Italian. That's just the Italian word for excavations. And some of you have maybe even been there. The excavations began in 1939, and in some places they're still ongoing. But at the end of the visit, I'd usually spend time talking with the pilgrims and allowing them to ask questions about what they'd seen. And many of the questions involved the bones that were found under the high altar in St. Peter's, which we believe are the bones of the Apostle Peter. Since the bones weren't found in the original grave, but in a marble box near the original grave, many people would ask why, and I had some pretty good possibilities of why they had been moved. I once took Louis Free on a visit. He was the director of the FBI at the time, and he asked a more technical question, namely why the Holy See had never done a DNA test on the bones. And I allowed that while it may be able to reveal the ethnicity of the person, we couldn't compare the DNA of the bones to any other bones of Peter because nowhere in the world except St. Peter claims to have the bones of Peter. But one question really stopped me in my tracks when I was a seminarian because I'd never been asked it before. And a man said, recognizing the bones, okay, I get that these are St. Peter's bones here, but where are the bones of Jesus? Now, for a full 2 or 3 seconds, I actually thought back through history and archaeology, trying to recall before the obvious answer smacked me in the face. Of course, the bones of Jesus are still attached to the rest of his body, and they're in heaven. Duh, that's what we celebrate today. And in many ways, this solemnity is the most important one of the whole year. Let's reflect on that bold assertion by looking at the fact of the ascension, the mission Jesus gave his apostles in the gospel today, and the promise he made to them. First, the ascension is a fact. It was an event that the apostles witnessed. But the Catechism tells us something even more important about it, something deeper. We know that we can get pretty casual about the ascension. It's just another day in the liturgical year. Sure, Jesus came down into Mary's womb and was born in Bethlehem. Sure, he grew up and began his ministry of teaching. Sure, he performed miracles. Sure, he died on the cross. Sure, he rose from the dead. And sure, he ascended into heaven. But the Catechism says the quiet part out loud. It tells us that the ascension is the irreversible entry of the humanity of Christ into divine glory. He came down from heaven and took on our humanity, and then he brought our humanity into heaven. Flesh and blood and bones entered heaven. If Jesus had just stayed on the earth and was still with us here today, making daily appearances around the world, and he'd probably have the biggest social media accounts on Facebook, X, and Instagram, it might be nice, but humanity would have no entryway into heaven. As we heard in the opening prayer at Mass, the ascension is our exaltation. For where the head, Jesus, has gone before in glory, the body, meaning us, is called to follow in hope. So Jesus is the head and we are the body. So how does that work? Well, that's number two, the mission Jesus gave the apostles. He tells them, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. A number of years ago, Pope Francis asked us to find out the date of our baptism in case we didn't know it. I didn't know it at the time, but I do now. It's August 12th. It's great to celebrate our birthdays, but the date of our baptism is even more important. It's at our baptism when we are cleansed of original sin. But even more, baptism makes us a new creation, an adopted son of God, a partaker of the divine nature, a temple of the Holy Spirit, and a member of the mystical body of Jesus Christ. At baptism, we are united to Christ as the head, and to each other as members of the body. And we, the body, want to go where the head has gone before us. And that brings us to the promise. The last thing Jesus says in this Gospel of Matthew, "Behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." This last verse forms what scripture scholars call a literary inclusion with the very first chapter of Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus is called Emmanuel, God with us. I am with you always. Sure, Jesus is ascending to bring our humanity to heaven, but he's also alluding to the coming of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is always acting. He's with us always, but most particularly in the sacraments of the church. We don't baptize our children because it's a family custom. We baptize our children because we want them to be part of the body of Christ and go to heaven. We don't go to confession to assuage our guilt. We go to heaven to cleanse our soul of the things that are not part of Christ. We come to Mass not because of a Sunday obligation, but so that we can unite ourselves with Christ in the Eucharist, the foretaste of heaven. The grace of the Holy Spirit is necessary for us to get to heaven. We can't get there on our own. In a few moments, right before the Eucharistic prayer, we'll hear one of the most beautiful prayers in the preface of the Mass. It explains the ascension in just a few simple words. Jesus, mediator between God and man, judge of the world and Lord of hosts, ascended, not to distance himself from our lowly state, but that we, his members, might be confident of following where he, our head and founder, has gone. Jesus Christ, body and blood, flesh and bones, is in heaven, and that is our hope.